We set goals for ourselves every year. We do it on our anniversary in August. Is that something that you guys have ever done, sort of like, you know, goal setting like you would do for a business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I introduced it to Mitch when we first started dating. I had had a few relationships and they always seemed to like fizzle out, not great. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to take a more of a business attitude with this relationship because I want it to work. So I kind of even did a marketing plan just to even find him. When we started dating, we had a monthly performance review, and it was, we would get a bottle of champagne and we'd hang out and we would tell each other what's working, what's not, what we could improve on, and are we going to sign back up for another month?
I love that. I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
So usually I start with a lengthy introduction and bios and links and those types of things. But for this particular episode, we're going to start with a story that sort of goes something like this. A lawyer and a therapist go into a bar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sit down and meet this amazing...
A divorce lawyer. You missed that part. God, the punchline is going to be so much better.
Yeah, a divorce lawyer and a therapist go into a bar.
And a couple's therapist go into a bar.
Yeah, really botched the beginning. But you get the drift. And we meet these two gentlemen and spent, 2 hours...
Yeah.
And a couple of cocktails, and just such an interesting couple with such an interesting background that we harassed them into coming on to our show. So welcome, Brad Weber, Mitchell Plave. Thank you guys very much for coming on.
Thank you. We're so
excited to have you. Yeah. So let's, if we can, what I'd like to do is start a little bit with, you know, each of your backgrounds, your family lives before you got together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite the journey. So I grew up in a very small Midwest farm town area, and grew up in a very religious home. And, you know, you kind of were a certain way, and you didn't waver off that. And I knew since a very young child that, you know, there was something unique, different about myself. I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I decided to kind of put that feeling away. And my father gave me a choice in life back then. It was farm, factory, or the military. So I had to go to option D, and that was to figure out a way to get myself out of this area, get, you know, go to school, pay for my school. So I did. And I was worked in the hospitality industry to put myself through college. And I decided that I knew inside that I was gay. I knew I couldn't, my parents would like go nuts. Everybody would go nuts. So I put it away. I was able to put it into a vault, which I don't recommend, by the way. And I met a woman, and I got married at a very young age. And we were married for, 18 years, and moved from the Midwest out to the Washington, D.C. metro area. My career skyrocketed, took off, and I was on the road. I'm traveling like 150, 200 days a year. So I was just constantly like trying to climb that ladder. And then finally, one day at the age of 41, I'm like, you know what? Can't do this anymore. And I had a conversation with my then wife, and she was great. And our son at the time was about 9 years old. And we decided that let's be true to ourselves. And I came out, and the rest is history, as they say, at least up until I met this fine man. So but that's kind of how it happened for me. So,
wow. That's a great story, and I have a lot of questions about that. But let's hear from Mitchell now and kind of what your journey looked like.
So I grew up in New York on Long Island, and in a fairly traditional Jewish community, probably not atypical for Long Island, like socially a little bit conservative, politically not for a lot of people. But anyway, you know, I didn't know any gay people. I knew, like Brad did, that there was something there, but there were no role models. You know, it just wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have a traditional life. So went to college. I went to Wesleyan, where I met my ex-wife. She was a couple of years before me, and we dated for a couple of years. Then I came to Washington for law school, and she followed. So we got married, and we were together for like essentially 17 years, 15 of which were married. Have two kids who are now 30 and 32. But, you know, around the time I was in my late 30s, the kind of difficulty of suppressing this part of me became very, very difficult. So, you know, a year of therapy later, it just seemed clear that there's no way to keep living like this. So I came out to my former wife, and, you know, we dealt with the kids. And what else can I say? It you know, even 25 years ago when I came out, and this has to do with us, there were very few, you know, gay couples back then who had kids. Mm. It just wasn't you know, there was no marriage equality. And so, you know, we both dated some people, but when we met, one of the things that really drew us together was that we both had children. And it was, I think probably not so much now, a disconnect between the gay community and the straight community, because, you know, we had or have kids, and it was, there's so many, you know, things, it was like a common language, you know, all the experiences that you have as a parent. And yeah. We both dated separately some people who were not particularly tuned into that. And that became a stumbling block in terms of building a relationship. Yeah. So when we met at a restaurant down in Chinatown.
You meet all the best people at restaurants, don't you?
We met on Match.com, but we set up a date.
Oh, okay. So it was Match.com. Very cool.
Yeah. And we set up a date and talked until the restaurant closed, basically around us. And, you know, there were a lot of things we enjoyed about one another. The thing in common that really brought us together was having children. And it, because we had so many shared experiences.
So actually similar. I know everybody's experience is unique, right? And nobody's life is similar in the way that it can be exactly. But the story that you tell, both of you had these feelings that they needed to suppress. You chose a traditional life, and, you know, had a family and then came out. So is that, do you guys joke about sort of like the before and after lives that you've had, like this life versus that life? Or, you know, how do you reference the two lives, if you will?
That's a really great question. I kind of view it as life. Like, I don't think pre-post of, you know, pre coming out or post coming out. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, when I think back to early on in my career, my marriage, you know, I played straight. And so I definitely, like, I even to the point of, like, how I dress, my concern, I had more, you know, the haircut, everything, just because I was in the corporate boardroom. And I remember playing that. And then as I was getting closer and closer to kind of being, you know, real to myself, I'm like, you know what? By the way, the word metrosexual kept me in the closet for 5 more years.
Transitional.
I was able to find a word that matched the fact that I liked fashion and I liked to look, you know, and I wanted good haircuts and cool glasses. So, and then, you know, I think I look at pictures of myself pre, you know, coming out, and it's a different person. It's a most plain or different role. So I think now, so I would view myself today as feeling a whole sense of freedom, complete freedom, and not realize I actually wasn't free before.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, as I want to talk about the interaction with each of you and your families, your children, your ex-spouses, in terms of those discussions that you each of you had, how did they go, number one? And number two, do they still sort of live in your lives today in terms of your relationship with those former spouses? And I want to talk to you about your children and that too, but I'm just curious to know, you know, how did those discussions go? How did they handle them? And then is that still sort of a thread that exists, you know, in your lives today?
For me, it was a very surreal moment. I was the president of an organization, and we were at a black tie gala in Palm Springs, California, of all places. And we were getting prepared to go, and I was going to make a speech, and then we would start the event off by she and I dancing together in front of everyone. And we're sitting there, and she was looking at me, and I was behind her helping her fasten a necklace that she's putting on. And she was looking in the mirror at me, and I looked down at her, and I'm like, oof, that's a different look I don't think I've seen before. And it wasn't anger. It wasn't anything. And she just said, we need to talk. And she said, I can't do it anymore. And I looked at her, and I said, I know you hate these events. I know you don't like being up in front of people. And she goes, no, honey. And she stood up, and we held hands and stared at each other, and she said, I can't do this anymore. She said, we're roommates. And I said, and she said, you know, I just want you to be true to yourself, and which has become a moniker for me. In fact, in my office, I have a photograph of myself with it written on my arms. And I said, you know, can you handle it? And she goes, yes. And I said, I'm gay. And she goes, I know. Now let's go dance. And that was it. And then we went and talked to our son. You know, we wrote out the divorce on the back of an airline, United Airlines cocktail napkin. And, we came back home and we had a chat with our son and had a great conversation with him, and he understood and he was okay with it. In fact, he said, after we told him, and he was kind of upset, he goes, well, wait a minute, are we still going to the beach this weekend? We're like, we're still going to the beach. As far as today, there's not really a relationship any longer. She and I, eventually everyone just kind of went their own ways, and it's nothing bad. It's just, there's just nothing there, you know, anymore. So.
How old is your son now before we shift over?
My son is 30. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to come back to that. Good, Mitchell. Let's hear from you a little bit.
So, you know, my ex-wife and I had a very nice relationship. You know, we kind of grew up together and started a family together. We had a house and we had a nice life. And as I said, I got to the point where it became too big a presence to ignore. And that's when I started the therapy. And, you know, I didn't tell her what it was. And finally she insisted on knowing. And I, you know, we sat down in the living room and I told her, you know, and it was very difficult for her. And understandably, because we had a life together, my path was different than Brad's. It was turned into a very adversarial situation for several years. But eventually over the years, it got much better. And she passed away about 5 years ago from glioblastoma. Mm-hmm. But before she did, in the 3 or 4 years before that, we had really reestablished a good relationship. You know, we have the kids, we both love the kids. And the really bad stuff kind of faded away, and we had a really nice, you know, somewhat distant, but it was a nice relationship. And
how old are your kids now?
They are 31 and let's see, 32 and 30.
And how is each of your relationship with your children? And before you answer that, you've been together for how long and married for how long?
Gosh, we just hit almost the 20-year mark together, and then married for 9. It'll be 10 years this October.
Okay, and What's your relationship with your kids now?
It's a tough conversation, tough one. I don't want to go too deep into it. I don't have a relationship any longer, really, with my son. And that's due to lots of reasons. So that's, that's tough. Fortunately, amazing relationship with Mitch's kids, like amazing. Like, and we, we're with them all the time. We're on the phone with them. They told us that we're become grandparents this July. So
yes, I remember that. I remember at the bar, you told us, you announced that. And that's just an amazing chapter in one's lives.
One more follow-up, and I don't want to go into a topic, you know, that you don't feel comfortable speaking about, which is perfectly fine. But I do want to ask about each of your relationships with your children, and how, if at all, that impacts your relationship, you know, the two of you, your relationship, and how you may deal with, you know, without getting into Brad, the situation, how that may pop up, and how the two of you sort of work through that yourselves.
Let's see.
I'm a lawyer. I ask a lot of tough questions. You're like, I wish the social worker was asking the question.
You know, it's a good question, and I don't know that it differs from other couples where there has been a divorce. You know, where people reunite after having divorces. You know, some of it is just regular kid stuff where. You know, we might have differences of opinion about how to parent, but which is, again, you know, not unusual. But we have a great relationship with my two children, who are our two children.
That's great.
They're great. They're accepting. It has been a journey. You know, as I said, it was kind of rough after, in the first many years, with the ex-wife, and they are love Brad, and he's the fun one. I'm the serious one.
Yeah.
But you know, they're great. They both are married. They have great careers. They're happy. Our son is expecting. I mean, it's just turned out really. This relationship now is what I'd always hoped it would be, and it took a long time.
Oh, that's
awesome. You know, early on in our relationship. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
When we came together, we're like talking about, you know, the fact we both have kids, that type of thing. Our styles were very different, but he also went through something different. He was dealing with a lot of other forces on raising them, and. You know, there are things maybe I think I wouldn't, you know, in my head, I'm like, I wouldn't do it like that or, you know, or something. But that, you know, there was sometimes some tension, you know, where, you know, I also grew up in a very, very difficult, you know, very strict family. So I was used to like certain things in certain ways. And, you know, you didn't push the envelope at all. And what I love about the energy with our kids is that they'll challenge conventional wisdom. You know, they'll push it. And I love that. So I think, you know, I think what's going to be really interesting is watching us together as grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's going to be wild.
I'm just imagining what the shopping's going to look like for you and this baby. This baby's going to be well outfitted, whether it's a girl or a boy. I can just imagine.
The girl we just found out. Yes. I've already been like, if you saw my Google searches over here, yeah. And I've got to be, I should calm down a little bit because I.
No, go for it. No
reason to calm down. Grandparenting is the best, is just the greatest thing. Now, so you go to Salt and Vine, obviously, because that's where we met you here in the Omni area. What other kind of things do you guys like to do and enjoy together? I know, Mitchell, were you in the process or have you retired at this point?
I retired a month ago.
Oh, boy. Congratulations.
Wow, congratulations. Mazel tov.
So you got some time, some other that would have been billable hours on your hands.
So how do you think that the retirement is going to impact your relationship?
It already has.
The honey-do list is very.
Well, the honey-do list is 32 pages long. So I travel, like I said, 200 plus days a year. So I'm go, 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 go. And now he'll be able. So for the first time ever, he may be able to come and join me in certain cities and actually maybe see me on stage or see the MC work or the facilitation work I do. So, which is wild because he's never been able to do that. I think there needs to be a support group for the spouses of someone who retire first. Because all of a sudden I'm looking at, you know, he's kind of putzing around the house doing stuff. You know, I'm like, are you okay? Like, oh my God, the best. He was in bed the other day in the middle of the day, and I walk in, I'm like, pushed him. I'm like, are you sick? He's like, I'm taking a nap. I've never had a nap in my life.
How was the nap?
Good. That was good. Do you think you're gonna be resentful of his slower pace, or do you think you're gonna try to embrace that?
I'm not gonna be, actually, you know what? I think I'm not gonna be resentful because already I'm seeing him. He looks calmer. He is. So actually, I think it's gonna help me slow down, and because I've been talking retirement for a while. And I think it's going to help me start to peel back a little bit from what I do to kind of start having a life. So,
yeah, that's great. So I wanted to ask you guys, we work with a lot of couples and we do this ourselves. We set goals for ourselves every year. We do it on our anniversary in August. And is that something that you guys have ever done, sort of goal setting like you would do for a business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I introduced it to Mitch. We first started dating. I had had a few relationships and they always seemed to fizzle out, not great. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to take more of a business attitude with this relationship because I want it to work. So I kind of even did a marketing plan just to even find him. When we started dating, we had a monthly performance review, and it was, we would get a bottle of champagne and we hang out and we would tell each other what's working, what's not, what we could improve on, and are we going to sign back up for another month?
I love that.
I mean, it's interesting because we've done a lot of talks with groups, with business groups, companies, small companies, mostly smaller companies, but all over the country. And I go through this litany of questions, you know, with these folks, which is just what you're talking about. How many of you in your business do a business plan? All the hands go up. And how many of you check in? All the hands, you set goals, hands go up, and you see where you're above those goals, below those goals, adjust to fit where you are. All the hands go up. Now, how many of you do the same thing and set goals in your marriage? No, yeah. And of course, the question is, how can you not?
Yeah, and David's been on a PIP plan several times with me.
Yeah. I object to that classification of a PIP plan. Anyway, well, listen, it's been so much fun having you guys. I know it is a Sunday morning for us here, folks, on the East Coast. So tell us what's next for you. And, you know, what's the next exciting thing? Now, we've got Mitch retired and taking naps. Brad is still traveling all over the country. So what's the next big thing for the two of you that you're planning to do together?
So we love exotic travel, and, you know, we try to do one major trip every year. We're going to pause the big, 3 weeks going all over. We're going to pause that this year to spend more time because of the new baby coming.
Yeah.
We're going to start working on the next big adventures. We want to go all over Asia. We want to do a safari. You know, we want to do something, you know, other, really, our daughter lives in Europe, so we're always going to Europe. So we want to do something completely different. So I think it'll be fun just to start doing that. As far as I think, you know, health, I think we both are realizing that we're not spring chickens. And so we're going to start spending some more time trying to get really healthy too.
Good. Yeah. I love great. That. Working out together is awesome.
Julie's dad is 92 and he has his bourbon every evening around 4 o'clock. Maybe has a second one, but he said something to me and he's a scientist and a little bit maybe on the spectrum.
Yeah,
here and there,
probably.
But very has some very good insights. And he said something to me a few years back, which I'll always remember. And that is, you know, do what you want while you can. And I don't know if you made it up or not, but it has stuck with me. And trying to live our lives that way, too. So, all right, fellas, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to We're going to, you know, put a little some notes in our story notes, folks, so you can hear more about this. And give us a call, drop us a line, ask any questions that you want. As always, you can find us at The Bullitts, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S, on all social media platforms, on YouTube and all the rest of it. And thanks again for listening, for watching. This is
Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.